الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير صدق الله العظيم. Beloved brothers, respected elders, on the 30th of October 1990, the Babri Masjid was razed to the ground in India by Hindu fanatics. At that time, one of the great scholars of Islam, one of the very great ulama, Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi, Rahmatullahi Ali, he was such an alim that was accepted amongst the Arabs and the non-Arabs. He was an alim that was very senior with regards to history, he had very deep knowledge of history. He was an expert in the Arabic language. And Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with deep insight into the seerah, the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the deen and the sharia. So at that time, after the destruction of the Babri Masjid, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullahi, he wrote an article, and I felt that this article in the current circumstances that we are facing as well, that it will be very appropriate, very apt advice we will find there, inshallah. He mentioned that the conditions that the Ummah is facing, it reminds him of the ayat of the Quran Majid, وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ, that despite the earth being so vast, everything seems narrow upon you. ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ, everything seems gloomy, seems bleak. The Ummah is going through turbulent times, difficult times. So the earth has become narrowed upon you despite its vastness. And then being a scholar of history and someone who was well versed in history, Islamic history and the history of the world, Hazrat Maulana mentions that the picture that comes in front of me when he sees the turmoil that the Ummah is going through, the picture that comes in front of him is the picture of the 7th and the 13th centuries. 7th and the 13th centuries, when the Tatars or the Mongols had attacked the Muslims, they had razed the cities to the ground, they shook the world of Islam at that time. They massacred thousands of Muslims. The blood of Muslims were flowing. So these wild troops of Mongols or Tatars, they did not have any call. They didn't have any philosophy. They didn't have any religious zeal. All they wanted was material power. And they were thirsty and greedy, thirsty for material power. And they were greedy for the dunya. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that amongst the Muslims, there were those who were spiritually enlightened. Those who were the walis of Allah, they were connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were inviters towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these same Tatars came into contact with them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transformed the condition of those very enemies. And those enemies became Muslims. And those enemies became the flag bearers of Islam. So this is something that's happened in history. And Maulana Bering, looking into history, he says, and he quotes a professor at that time by the name of T.W. Arnold. He wrote a book called The Preaching of Islam. T.W. Arnold wrote a book called The Preaching of Islam. And I quote from that book, he says, Islam woke up from its destroyed glory, and the Muslim preachers, they caused the wild Mongols to become Muslims. So this non-Muslim historian, T.W. Arnold, he says, Islam woke up from its destroyed glory, and the Muslim preachers caused the wild Mongols, the Tatars, to become Muslims themselves. So this happened also in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many times we hear that people would say to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that of all the religions, your religion was the most hated to us. Of all the faces on the surface of the earth, your face was the most hated to us. Of all the places on the surface of the earth, Medina was the most hated to us. But after they came into contact with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum, then they said, now your face is the most beloved to us. Your religion is the most beloved to us. Your city is the most beloved to us. So in these bleak conditions, difficult times, when the Ummah is suffering, we know everywhere, every nook and corner, Kashmir, Palestine, Yemen, wherever the Ummah is suffering, may Allah Ta'ala alleviate the suffering of the Ummah. But in these conditions, should we become weak? Should we become depressed? Should we become despondent? Should we now lose hope? Na'udhu billah. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا. Don't become weak. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't grieve. Don't become depressed. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. You will dominate. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. The condition is, if you are true believers. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Ta'ala has taught us this dua, which I read in the opening khutbah. This dua taught to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the kind of dua that every one of us should be making in this time and age. Qul, Allah Ta'ala said, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make this dua. Allahumma malikal mulk. O Allah, owner of kingdom. Tu'til mulka man tasha. You give kingdom to whomsoever you wish. Wa tanzi'ul mulka mimman tasha. You snatch away kingdom from whomsoever you wish. وَتُذِلُّ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You give honor to whom you wish. وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You disgrace who you wish. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. All good is in your hands. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. We want that goodness from Allah. One decision of Allah and everything changes. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. In your hands is all goodness. إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. You are all powerful over everything. Now in order to bring this kind of revolution, this kind of change, to meet the challenge of the times, as I mentioned, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullahi, he gave some guidelines in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He gave 6 points. How do we meet the challenge? How do we bring about this change? First point, he says, the first duty that every believer has is inabat ilallah, to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn to Allah ta'ala through tawbah, through istighfar, through dua. Ista'inu bis sabri wa salah. Seek the help of Allah through patience and through salah. Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. This is a Quranic prescription. If you want the help of Allah, you want the condition of the ummah to change, ista'inu, seek the help of Allah, bis-sabri was-salah, by patience and by means of salah. What was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's mentioned in a hadith of Abu Dawud that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if anything perturbed Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if there was any worry, if there was any concern, some problem, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would immediately resort to salah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would resort to salah, read two rakats of salah, and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we turn to Allah. This is the first step. Through salah, dua, dhikr of Allah. They are beautiful duas, as I had mentioned before, the dua, Kulillahumma malik al-mulk. Similarly, the dua of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu was salam, when he was in that all that darkness, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu minal zalimi. There is none worthy of worship except you. You are most pure. Inni kuntu minal, I am from the wrongdoers. Inni kuntu minal zalimin. So the ummah collectively turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah ta'ala will bring about the changes inshallah. Alhamdulillah, we have an opportunity. Many, we find many hajis had returned also. Get their du'as. Ask them for du'a. Allahumma ghfir lil hajj wa liman istaghfara lahu al hajj. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made du'a. Oh Allah, forgive the haji. And forgive that person who the haji seeks forgiveness for as well. So get the du'as of the hajis and get their du'as. And ask them also to make du'a for the ummat. So that's the first point. The second point that Hazrat Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullahi gives is, which is linked to the first one, but this is specifically to repent from every sin and to stay away from every act of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To stay away from every act of disobedience to Allah, which will include obviously fulfilling the rights of Allah and fulfilling the rights of people as well. So to stay away from every act of disobedience. Simply put, a life of taqwa, of consciousness of Allah, of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi, the great just ruler of Islam, he once wrote a letter to his army leader, whose name was Mansur ibn Ghalib. And this will help us understand the importance of us staying away from the disobedience of Allah. That we all make the resolve that we will stay away from every act of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do that, then this is going to bring about changes for us and for the ummah inshallah. So he wrote a letter to his army leader. He said to him, adopt taqwa, consciousness of Allah, obedience to Allah, staying away from his disobedience in every condition. As taqwa is the best of provisions. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ taqwa. The best of provision is taqwa. And it is the most effective plan. The most effective plan. We have a lot of strategies and strategies to uplift the ummah. But he says the most effective plan. The most effective plan is taqwa. And it is the real power. Taqwa is the real power. Then he wrote to him, he says, fear the disobedience of Allah more than you fear your enemy. Fear the disobedience of Allah more than you fear your enemy. This is because sin is even more dangerous than the enemy. And he said that we fight the enemy and overpower them on account of their sin. We fight them and overpower them because of their sin. If we are going to be the same as them in sin, then they will overpower us in terms of number and in terms of power and strength. So be wary of your sinning even more than you are wary of your enemy. So this is the second point that Maulana mentioned, Maulana Abu Hassan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullahi, that stay away from every act of disobedience of Allah. This is going to bring the help of Allah, like taught to us at the end of Surah Baqarah, when you ask Allah for victory, first, wa'fu anna, waghfir lana, warhamna, Anta Maulana Fansurna ala al-qawm al-kafirin. First, remove the barrier of sin and disobedience. Pardon us, forgive us, have mercy on us. Then you ask, Anta Maulana, you are our protector. So therefore, give us victory against the disbelievers. Fansurna ala al-qawm al-kafirin. So first, remove the barrier of sin. Then comes the help of the nusrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third point that Maulana gave to the ummah that was going through times of trials and tribulation, as we said, after the raising of the Babri Masjid, he said to them, try as best as possible to introduce the non-Muslims towards Islam. Dawat ilallah, inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So invite the non-Muslims towards Iman, and invite the Muslims towards reforming their actions and their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala has blessed us with the most powerful deen that captures the hearts and the minds of people. We have the miraculous pages of the Quran. We have the heart-softening teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So use every opportunity for da'wat, for inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Whose words can be more beautiful than the one who invites towards Allah? وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. And he does good deeds. He himself is practical. He invites towards Allah and he does good deeds. وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And humbly he says, verily I am from the Muslims. I am amongst the Muslims. This is my duty to invite towards Allah without any pride and arrogance, but I am inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the third point. The fourth point that Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullahi gave as advice to the minority Muslims at that time in India, when they were facing all the bleak conditions and the oppression of some of the extreme Hindu fanatics. He says, in this country where we are minorities, same will apply to us in South Africa, we must convey the message and preach a peaceful human coexistence. Respect for the life, honor, and property of humanity. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have honored all the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. All the children of Adam alayhi salam are honored. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنَا. Say good words to mankind, to all people, whether they Muslim, whether they non-Muslim, speak nicely to people. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنَا. Yes, amongst the non-Muslims, there are those who are the enemies of Islam. They are the enemies of Allah. They are the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are oppressors. Then, obviously, with regards to them, it's ashidda'u ala al-kuffar. With such kuffar, then we will be harsh and we will fight against them. But there are others. Allah Ta'ala has classified it and mentioned it clearly in the Quran. La yanhaakumullahu anil ladhina lam yuqatilukum fid din wa lam yukhrijukum min diyarikum an tabarruhum wa tuqsitu ilayhim. With regards to those who are not fighting you with regards to your deen, those who are not expelling you from your homes, Allah Ta'ala says that He does not stop you from being kind to them and from being just with them. So there are many amongst our neighbors, amongst our colleagues at work, amongst our fellow students, amongst our teachers, who may be non-Muslims, and they are not fighting against us, and they are not oppressing us. So Allah Ta'ala does not stop us from being kind to them, and from being just with them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Allah loves those who are just. So this kind of humanitarian qualities, being kind to them, being just with them, with those who are not fighting against us. فَلَا عُدْوَانَ. There's no enmity. إِلَّا عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. Except against the oppressors. Those who are oppressing us, then obviously we will face them and we will fight against them. But others, we should be kind, be just, practice beautiful humanitarian qualities, be good, invite them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be good to them, help them, assist them, send gifts to them, visit them when they are sick. This is all part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Maulana mentions a fifth point, that in these difficult times, all of us, we need to develop the qualities of sabr, patience, tolerance, well-wishing, bravery. We need to develop the quality of bravery. We need to develop the qualities of undergoing difficulty in the path of Allah, hoping for reward from Allah, for Jannah, yearning for shahadat, yearning for martyrdom, yearning for shahadat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are beautiful qualities of bravery, losing the fear of death, losing the fear of death, earning the quality of striving for the sake of Allah. How do we imbibe these qualities? Maulana gave an easy prescription. How do we imbibe these beautiful qualities? He says, for this, study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and study the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the biographies of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So there are beautiful books on the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam available. There are beautiful books on the lives and the biographies of Sahaba, like Hayatul Sahaba by Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Kandilvi rahmatullahi alayhi. There is Hikayatul Sahaba, which you will find it in the Fazail Amal by Hazrat Maulana Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi. There is Futuhul Sham, the conquest of Sham by Allama Waqidi rahmatullahi alayhi. When we study the lives of the Sahaba, then that yearning for shahadat, the yearning for striving for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of death will come out, the bravery and bravery for the sake of Allah, all these qualities will be imbibed within us, and inshallah this will help us withstand the Islamophobia and the difficulties that we are facing. And the last quality, the last point that Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nanvi rahmatullahi alayhi had given to the Ummah when they were going through the times of difficulty, as I said, after the raising of the Babri Masjid, he said that every person should take the responsibility of teaching his own children and his own household members regarding the necessary teachings of deen, the basic beliefs and the basic practical actions. Make your home a madrasa. Make your home a place of ta'aleem. Make your home a place of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Allah subhanahu, like a person would shows importance to worrying about the food, shelter, medication, education for his children, and a person should take the responsibility of all that. But more important than that is to worry and be concerned about the deen of those of the family members, of the children, the women folk at home. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O believers, save yourselves and your family members from the fire of Jahannam. Wa quduha an-nasu wal hijara, whose fuel is man and stone. Allah Ta'ala says, kullukum ra'in, each one of you is a shepherd. وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْعُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ, and each one of you will be questioned about his flock. So take responsibility for ourselves and our family members, our wives, our children. Conduct some ta'aleem within that home. Ayats of the Quran, sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, biographies of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So these are the six qualities or the six points that Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadvi rahmatullahi alayhi gave for the Ummah that was facing bleak times. And he said that inshallah, if we develop these qualities, then as Allah Ta'ala assists the Muslims, and I had given the example of how those Tatars or those Mongols who were the enemies of Islam, they became the flag bearers of the deen of Islam. If we develop these qualities, again, just to summarize quickly, number one, the first one is to do with the taqwa of Allah. One is obedience, do all acts of obedience to draw the help of Allah. Secondly, to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's taqwa. Second quality is da'wat, inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third point that Maulana mentions is khidmat, or service to the creation of Allah. So taqwa, da'wat, and khidmah, TDK. If you can remember that, TDK, taqwa, da'wat, and khidmat. And then lastly, the ta'lim, education, the biographies of the sahaba, and ta'lim within the home. This is the crux of his message. Inshallah, if we develop these qualities, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being. Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change what is within themselves. The same revolution that took place at that time, Allah ta'ala is that powerful being who can bring about the same change in a split second. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq for amal. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.